All right, we'll open up to the book of James. Uh-oh, somebody said. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you a verse that I read this morning. We call that one Open Doors. This might be Open Doors Part 2, something like that. And, Matthew 18:9. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. I didn't realize until recently that Jesus said that twice in the book of Matthew. The first time was back in chapter 5, I believe it was, in what we call the Beatitudes. There he was specifically referencing those statements to the sin of adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery, the seventh commandment. So when you keep it in the sense of adultery, it's pretty easy to see, the eye gate, what's he talking about there? And again, I think about David and Bathsheba, how he got into trouble. First, he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. That chapter starts off saying it was the time of war. Kings were supposed to be out at war with their troops. For some reason, he didn't do what he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. By the way, that's do the message. God doesn't have you here to be hearing this and not doing this, okay? Do the message. There is a lot of truth to that old saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop, you know. But anyway, David, how that started, his eye gate, it said he was walking by the window and he saw Bathsheba bathing on a rooftop. And I just have this feeling, because I'm a guy, that event didn't happen probably just once. You know, that was the version of pornography available at the time. I mean, it was, you know, and that's the way the flesh is. You know, you give me, my flesh always thinks the first dozen Krispy Kremes are always good, you know. You give it one, it wants a bunch more. It's crazy, you know, it'll just kill you. But anyway, it started through the eye gate, and he liked what he saw. Then he kept thinking about what he saw. And then he wanted to possess what he saw. And then he had to have what he saw. And eventually he wound up having... Now, she was a married woman. She was married to a guy named Uriah, who was a soldier under David's command. And eventually, I mean, his brain hatched out an ungodly thing, a plan to have her husband killed. Let's say it a different way. A plan to have her husband murdered, so that King David could have his wife. And it all started through the eye gate. Oh, it won't affect me. You know, I'm a strong, spirit-filled Christian. I can, pornography doesn't affect me. Yeah, it will too. You can get addicted to it. The flesh really, I am a man with an addictive nature. I'll just tell you. I know what addiction is. I was addicted to alcohol for years and years and could not get free. And I thank God for the grace of Jesus. And that in that instance, I just went to bed in that condition one night to go to sleep. And without a single withdrawal, I woke up sober the next morning. And I've been sober ever since. I've never even had another drink. For me, I'm just better off without the stuff. I know my addictive nature. You know, I got hooked on nicotine. Right? And you've heard that story. And see, my body fought me on that, but I was determined. We had recently moved to a certain area, and that school was, that high school, junior high, was known for being pretty rough. And everybody there smoked. I mean, everybody did. Here, I was always the new fat kid in town anyway, and I didn't smoke, and so I wanted to fit in. I know why I did it. So my brain hatched a plan that was not of God. And I stole 3 L&M cigarettes out of my mouth. How many are old enough to remember L&M cigarettes? Oh, God, you're dating yourself now. When Norville tells his story about how he got free, he talks about Chesterfields. How many remember Chesterfields? Okay. He says, you got to be desperate to want a Chesterfield. Well, I still remember sneaking those three L&M cigarettes. I thought I was going to die. I took those up behind the bar. My body, my body was not addicted to that. Boy, I mean, it was going, are you crazy? I wasn't designed to breathe smoke. What's wrong with you? Hacking and wheezing and my head spinning and, you know, but I am I am a determined rascal. You are going to do this. Now what's funny though, something that my body naturally rejected, you can train that body. See? And I opened that door. I can't blame it on the devil. I can't blame it on anything except Gary. That I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be in this peer group. I read you this morning how the serpent tempted Eve with the forbidden fruit. I like the way it says there, how she thought about that. Genesis 3:6, you don't have to turn there. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, when she saw, Agate. When she saw that it was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, in my case, a tree to be desired to make one accepted in a peer group, see. Well, she took. It means her brain made a conclusion. She came to a decision that was not generated by God. She took a course of action opposite to what God said. And her husband watched the whole thing. She ate it, turned around to him, offered it to him, and he ate it. But that whole thing, now the devil tempted her all right. But he could not force her. That's the thing. See, this is the thing. The devil has been stripped of his archangel abilities. He doesn't have that power like that angel in the Old Testament who came and slew 180,000 of the enemy in a single night. He doesn't have that kind of power. He has to talk you into doing it. Now, again, get this morning's message. I'm not talking about birth defects here. I'm not talking about sickness here. I'm not talking about those things. I talked about that this morning. We're talking about the things tonight that you have control over. Doors that you open. Gary opened a door that caused an addiction. I trained my body to like the effects of nicotine to the point that I became a slave. See, that's the thing. When you do it, you think you're the one making the decisions, and really you are. But by those very decisions, you enslave yourself. And I was a slave for 42 years. I tried. I can't tell you the hundreds, if not thousands of dollars I have spent during those years trying to get off cigarettes. I mean, everything that come out, nicotine, gum, patches that come. I'm getting some nods from people that have fought those battles. I'm with you 1,000%. So is God. Just keep praying is all I can tell you. And I was a slave. James puts it this way. Have you found James? we give the devil too much credit. A lot of times we open these doors, most of the time. Now, it's not that he won't tempt you. How would you have written that about Gary at that school wanting to be accepted? Well, the devil came and he says, now, if you smoke these cigarettes, it's something that will cause you, it's something to be desired because it will cause you to be accepted here. And you won't be in this constant battle all the time of fighting and you'll be one of the cool kids. Can I put it however he would have phrased it when I was 14, okay, seventh grade. And I did partake. Anyway. But I opened that door. The point is, he could not make me do it. I through the eye gate, my reasoning gate, and then my hand. Okay, notice it says, "Cut off thine eye, or gouge out thy eye, cut off thy hand." And in Matthew 18, he even talks about your foot. Mm-hmm. Your foot has everything to do with where you go. See, everything to do with where you go. Now, he's not wanting you to literally cut your foot off, but if you get addicted, like I got addicted to smoking, I'm telling you, quitting that, I'd almost felt like cutting my hand off. I'm telling you, that was rough. It was to the point now, I mean, I was begging him to take away the withdrawals at the time, a year and a half, begging him, please, I've had enough, I've learned my lesson. I'll tell you what, after going through that, that's part of the deliverance. I'm telling you, I paid such a price. I don't ever want to pay that price again with anything. Don't ever want to go through that again. See? God, he's a good daddy. He knows what he's doing. Well, now James, he says it perfectly here. Let's pick it up in chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when the devil forces him into his plan. No, no. The devil made me do it. Y'all remember that? The devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. I like, this guy walking along, all of a sudden, slipped, got up and said, I committed adultery. How did that happen? Oh, quit lying. I don't know how that happened. I was walking along and adultery just happened. No, it didn't. Now, here's how it really is. Devil made me do it. That ought to be a good title, isn't it? No, anyway. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? His own lust and enticed. That when lust hath conceived, and if you look that up, it's the same word you would use for a woman that conceives a baby. So you walk by that window once, Bathsheba, hubba hubba, and you go on by. You know, you survived maybe. But when you go, now what time of day was she taking that bath? I'll be back tomorrow. And you keep coming back to the window. Keep coming back to the window. Pull up a chair, sit at the window. Today, take pictures of the window, put it on YouTube. Or take pictures so you can look at it again and again and again and again and again. And eventually, lust will conceive. See, that's exactly what happened with King David. Lust conceived. An idea came. How do I translate this into action? See? And in order to really do that, he had to have not only the sin of adultery, the sin of murder. Literally had her husband murdered. But this is the way it works. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, not the devil. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All he's saying there is, it isn't God causing you to do that. It's not God, it's your own lust. It has to do with your eye gate. Nobody controls your eye gate but you. You can turn away, it may be hard. Turn away. Quit looking. There's also other gates. The ear gate. Today, oh God, I don't want to. Yes, sir. Let's go to the one evil companions corrupt good morals. Even evil companionships. That's got everything. Evil communication, I think that's crazy in the King James. Evil communication corrupts good morals. What it's really talking about is the crowd you run with. The crowd you run with. Sue and I, and I'd have to go back and look at the date, but it was early on after we were doing the message here. At one point, the Holy Spirit said to me, he says, will you allow me to choose your friends for you? He said, there are certain friends that you're running with that have no hunger for revival. They have no hunger for the deeper things of God. It's not that they're not coming to heaven. They're saved by the blood. But if you continue this fellowship, you'll wind up following them instead of following me. Will you allow me to choose your friends for you? And these weren't evil people at all. These are good people. But it was exactly what he said. They had no heart for revival. They weren't going to pay this price, at least not then. And we had to make a choice. Now, did we go and cut them off and tell them all that? No. You don't have to do that. He didn't ask us to do that. He said, would we allow him to choose our friends? We talked about it and pretty well understood it, Sue and I. And we prayed back. Can you know what a pray back is? We answered back, "Yes, Lord, please. You choose our friends." Within just a few days, someone invited us to lunch. I'm not going to tell you who it was. And that was a God, that was a God choice. And it changed our life. When I say a few days, I mean like two or three. And just all of a sudden, he opened a door because we answered that prayer. He opened a door to a friendship that has literally changed our lives and helped set the course of our lives. Now, cutting off friendships long, especially when I say cutting off friendships, I don't want to do it that way. I don't want anybody calling anybody and saying, "But Gary said." That's not even how you do it anyway. No, and I'll tell you what you can say. Yes, sir. Erin has told this. I'm not telling anything out of school. Most of y'all know that she went to, we lovingly in our family called it her vacation time. She was married and they wound up getting a divorce and Erin went on vacation for a little while. What we mean by that, for a period, she kind of, you know, she got so beat up in that marriage, she backslid for a while. Anyone, quit looking at me so holy. All right. She backslid for a while. Okay. And for a year, maybe a year and a half, I don't remember now how long. And she was kind of back out in the world doing things she knew she shouldn't be doing and made friends she shouldn't have made and those kind of things. But then, you know, the call of God is strong. Of course, and we were praying for her and doing all the things that we knew to do. And she got the hunger to come back to God. And so we was talking with her about it. And we're, you know, saying, "Well, now look, you know, if you're going to come back, come back. But don't try and drag the world with you. You're going to have to make your choices, you know." Now, in that case, she did. She called her friends, quote, now these people were not born again. But she flat told them, says, in her view, it was a way of witnessing. Said, "Look, I've been backslidden. I'm a Christian. I know better than to be living the way I've been living. I am stopping this now. I'm returning to Jesus. I'm returning to God." I don't know exactly how she said it to him. "I'm returning to Jesus. I'm not going to be going to the bars with you anymore. I'm not going to be going to those places anymore. I'm going to be in church, and you're welcome to come with me. But I'm just letting you know I'm not going to those places anymore with you or anybody else." Now, see, that's the way you do it. That's okay to do it that way. And invite them to church. How many came? Not one. Not one. Well, go ahead and turn. Let's go to Proverbs 7 tonight. Proverbs, this particular one, is such a perfect picture of how you open a door. And again, in this chapter, it's talking about the strange woman. But it starts off, and if you're really backed up, it's been talking for a while, quite a bit leading up to chapter 7, talking about wisdom. And talking about wisdom like a woman, you know, attend to my words and listen to my counsel and you'll be wise and you'll make right choices. And then in chapter 7 here, it's given the counsel not to go with the strange woman. And the imagery here is real clear. It's talking about a harlot. In fact, this particular woman is married. She talks about her husband being gone from the house, and so come on in. But see, it's really a lot deeper than that. It is adultery, like Jesus taught on in Matthew 5. But see, this same process, instead of just talking about adultery, how about it this way? Wisdom is God's word to you. The strange woman is the world's word to you. Now, that's the strange woman. Doing things the world's way, making decisions according to the counsel of the ungodly. It's everything opposite of the guy who meditates on God's word in Psalms 1, you know. Okay? So let's pick it up here in the chapter, so Proverbs 7, verse 1. "My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye." Now, how would you apply that to a New Testament believer? Well, where is God's law now? Written in your heart and in your mind. You know it's wrong. You get a witness. Nobody has to tell you it's wrong to steal. If you're born again, you know it's wrong. From the get-go, you know it's wrong. And you know adultery is wrong. So when you attend to His law, you attend to that conscience that you received when you got born again. That green light, red light, this is right, that's wrong. I don't know why it's wrong. I just know it is wrong. You can go, but I can't go. Type of deal. Anyway, bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Boy, I'm reminded right there of Genesis and the devil and how he came and flattered Eve with his words and says, no, he just started lying to her. He says, no, God's withholding this from you because he knows that the day you eat thereof, you're going to be like gods yourself, see. And he just flattered her and built her up. That's the way the world always is, you know. You deserve this. You've worked hard, you know. I used to tell myself that all the time. I work really hard in that real estate business. I deserve to go get drunk every Friday and Saturday night, throw my socks up down the toilet bowl, and can't wait to do it again next Friday night, you know. I thought that was wisdom. Dear Jesus. Anyway. Now look at verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, and I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So he's passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Now there's the feet, okay? He went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. And boy, if that was true when the Holy Spirit penned this through the Solomon. Dear Lord, how much more is that true today? You can't drive down the road and look at the billboards. I mean, there's nowhere you can go. You go to the mall, and you know, you walk by the stores, I want to put my hands in front of Lily's eyes, and dear God, you know. You talk at every turn, it's not just sexual things, it's everything. You know, Lily will come and say, I need such and such a toy. And I go, where'd you hear about that? You know, TV. Cartoons. What do you think those cartoons are for? They're entertainment. It's to sell those toys. They're enticing them. 3 years old. I need that. Uh-huh. So anyway, now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. And boy, that's true. You can be tempted before you get home from here. Before this service, if you want to. Yeah. Anyway, so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. And that's, boy, the world is just like that. You've worked hard. You deserve this. You ought to have this. It won't hurt anything. Come on. This is good. You know, kiss. You're a good person. This is good for you. Uh-huh. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Now notice, for the good man is not at home. He's gone on a long journey, her husband. He won't be back. He took a bag of money with him. He's not going to come back till he's spent it all. And with her much fair speech, much fair speech. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, all those things that the devil, that fair speech, God knows he doesn't want you to have this. He knows the day you eat that of, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like gods. He's withholding the good things from you. But that's not the world, the devil. For the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. Oh, verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Well, she forced him because he didn't walk away. He didn't take away the ear gate. It's your gate. It's your ears. I had to do it again here recently. Someone was just, you know, it's one thing to tell me a difficulty. It's another thing to gossip. And I warned them once. I said, look, if you don't stop talking like that, I'm just going to turn around and walk off. My ears are not your trash can. You can't, I'm not going to sit here and listen to that. They kept on, and I turned around and walked off. And they got mad, and I don't know why. You know, you tell them, what are you going to do? What I'm saying, it's your ears. Quit looking at it. Quit listening to it. And that's hard if you've let yourself get addicted to it. See, we have these things. We know today about chemical reaction in the brain. You know, people can get addicted to a good thing like running. Endorphins. You ever hear of endorphins? I don't think they knew about endorphins when this was written. But you can get addicted to a good thing. You know, I got to go. I mean, you know, I've got to go run. It's once you become addicted to anything, there's pleasure centers. There's even if you didn't do the thing, still there was enough release of those endorphins. You got a high. You got a reward off of that. And it causes you to come back and do it again and again and again. And it's hard to stop. But if you don't stop somewhere, see, Dave used to teach along these lines more than he has recently. And he says, look, that little snake, that cute little snake that's about 6 inches long, when you start flirting with that little thing, you know, it's just a little snake. He said, you know, the plan is not for that snake to stay 6 inches long. The plan is for that snake to grow up. One day it's going to bite you. And the plan is not for it to hurt you. The plan is for it to kill you. And especially kill your ministry. Kill your marriage. Kill everything that's holy and righteous about your life. Well, verse 22, so he goeth after her straightway. Now notice, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart, that's like an arrow, strikes through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, and he knoweth not, now get this, he knoweth not that it is for his life. Part of me, we're not going to talk about politics much, but in the news this week, I'm going to say it obliquely so it'll still be appropriate later on. There is a congressman who's very much in the news because he did some twittering that was inappropriate. It may wind up costing him his job. It may wind up costing him his marriage. It's already cost him great tons of respect that he'll probably not have again. Okay? And why? Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7. Those little something, the eye gate, the ear gate, something kept, this is good for you, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. Pretty soon, it doesn't happen the first time. It may not happen the first 100 times. It may not happen the first 1,000 times. But if you, how do they say it? You keep messing around that slippery creek bank, eventually you'll come sliding in. And that's what happens. And a plan was conceived, and he did things that now, I'm sure now he's thinking, what was I thinking? Risking everything over something so foolish as that. This young man going in, he's, no, I'm just going to have a good time. This is good for me. You know, the flattering words, it has worked. And notice it says, he goeth after her straightway and knoweth not that it is for his life. This thing's planning on destroying him. That's what open doors are. Okay, I can't get away from this. Open doors, you have to, there's no such thing. See, I'm not going to preach against television. Really? Like they did in the holiness days? See, my Bible says all things were created by him and for him. I think television is for the gospel. Now, you can take anything and pervert it. The internet, a great tool for spreading the gospel around the world. You can pervert that and use it for great destruction. God's using Twitter, Facebook, and many other things to help repressive regimes come down all over the world right now. But right on the other hand, we have gates available to us that have never been available in the history of man. Facebook can be a wonderful thing. I can also tell you story after story. I do a lot of counseling. How Facebook, old high school lovers, found you again after all these years. I already know of more than one marriage that's been broke up by it. You know? Get on there. Maybe you've been in a marriage for 30 years and it's really, it's a marriage, but you know, it's a good marriage, what I mean, but it, they get 30 years old. Do I need to really elaborate? I mean, okay. And all of a sudden, I'll use a name that's not appropriate. Henry. I'll pick Henry. I don't know. Henry from when you were 16. Found you on Facebook. Sends you a picture of when he was 16. Time out. I told y'all, I knew it was going to happen. Sue kept telling me it was going to happen. Said, Gary, if you do not update that photo of you that's at your website, you're going to wind up, you're going to show up for a meeting and they're not going to believe it was you. That picture's about 1997 or 98. It's old. And this is 2011. Sure enough, I got down to that little Spanish-speaking church and got down there. And the pastor had showed him that picture from my website. Now, when this guy comes, seat him on the front row. When I got there, he looked at me and seated me on the back row. He didn't know. I should have listened to the wisdom of my wife. I should have listened. I still got to update that picture. Finally, the pastor was preaching away, and time was getting close for me to get up there. And he finally saw me in the back row. Oh, well. But Facebook, Twitter, these are wonderful things if they're used correctly. See, and if you're born again, that here we go again, that law. It's not, nowhere are you going to find, thou shalt not Facebook. You're not going to find that. But the first time that Henry contacts you, and there's that little spark of something, and then you know in your knower, that righteous and holy part of you that is born of God, you get that first warning, this is not appropriate. Okay? And you can take action right at that point and turn that thing in a direction that'll be good or end it. But if you don't, and you allow that relationship to develop in a way that's not right, I know of one case close at hand for sure. Within a year, a 17-year marriage was destroyed. 17 years. Can't do it. Well, getting back to this now. That verse 23, if you underline in your Bible, you really ought to underline that last part. See, this is what, and this illustration is about adultery, but I'm telling you, this is about every door. It's the same process, no matter. It's every door. If it's a the devil can entice you with a promotion to move you away from where you need to be living. Yeah, you deserve this. You've worked hard. You know? God's called you here to pray and be part of this revival, and so the devil offers you a $20,000 raise to move to Omaha. I'm not against Omaha, just somewhere. You know, just out there somewhere. Well, he'll do it flattering words. You don't realize it's for your life. And in that case, you're calling. You know. All right, so verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O you children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chamber of death. Man, this next chapter you could read, there's a lot of, it continues on, it doesn't just end there. But if that's not the perfect counterpart to James in the New Testament, It doesn't happen in a flash. It doesn't happen in a... You have to give your ear to it. You have to listen to those words. You have to see. Yes, sir. This little study I've done so far, let me mention at least four gates again. Jesus specifically mentioned in Matthew 18, the eye gate. Now, and sometimes cutting these things off will feel as painful because you've become addicted to the endorphin rush and whatever else is up there, I don't know. The chemical reactions in the brain that high. There's an eye gate. You're going to have to shut that off. The hand gate. Let's say it this way. The eye gate, what are you seeing? The hand gate, what are you doing? What are you doing, you know? He mentions the foot. Foot has everything to do with where are you going, you know? And then that companion's gate. Where it says, you can just look this up later, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Boy, that's a little rough and it's a little blind to us in the King James. Let me read you the amplified version of that. That's 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion and associations, corrupt and deprave good manners and morals and character." That's a little more clear, isn't it? Do you know what the next verse is? "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Isn't that something? Talking about your companions. Who you hanging with? Who you hanging with, see? I want to read that one to you in the Amplified. It's really... So this is 1 Corinthians 15:34 from the Amplified Bible. "Awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly, and get this, willfully and disgracefully ignorant. And continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of Him. I say this to your shame." In Romans 1, it talks about when they knew God, there was a time. You know, you do know that after the flood of Noah, the whole earth was filled with the knowledge of God. You got that? And you know what happened after that? I just look around, okay? So it says, when they knew God, they did not want to retain the knowledge of God. And that's where we are today. Again, I think about that congressman since it's so in the news right now. I bet right now he's thinking, he wished he would have. It says, "Return to your sober sense and your right minds." And I bet that's exactly the way he feels. For what? It's for your life, people. It's your gates. Eye gate. Foot gate, hand gate, companion's gate. I want to throw in the ear gate. I sound like my grandparents now. "You shouldn't be listening to that rock and roll." I didn't listen to them like the young people don't listen to me. But I'll tell you what, if you listen to the lyrics, some of it, I don't recommend it. But I've got teenage grandchildren. There's stuff in those lyrics. I'm speechless. I have no words to describe how heinous and vile. And to think that they've put music to that, so that now affects the emotions, driving that in. It's a miracle to me that the devil hasn't harvested the whole generation. It's bad. It's really bad. There was a season when Sue and I first got saved, because music, we had been so addicted to a certain kind of music. I mean, it really ruled our life. We couldn't function without it, we thought. He said, "Watch this." He took it away. We had to get it out of the house. I don't preach that you have to do that. But in our case, it was an ear gate that had to be stopped. And not only that, he had us give away our stereo. and anything like that. We didn't have hardly anything in the house to play music on for almost 20 years. Isn't that something? Once we got free, he let me have a little bit of it back. So I can have music a little bit now. But see, I know the dangers of it now, too. You got to be careful what you hear. Yes, sir. Don't sit and listen to paid entertainers talk on Fox Radio all day long. And I'm a Fox fan. I mean, what I mean is I am a conservative. I like that avenue, that slant towards the news. But I also know these people are paid. Not for hours and hours and hours and hours. No. No. If you're going to give your ear gate to something like that, Alexander Scorby has a wonderful set of CDs out. It's called The Bible. Alexander Scorby. Buy it at Mardell's or any other good bookstore. It's excellent. Amen. I'm going to probably have some more on Open Doors. Y'all getting anything out of this? I want to hear a lot of doors slamming tonight. No, I'm just, I don't know. All right, I think that's good enough for tonight.